You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
Welcome to the 11th episode of Tap and Talk on the We Speak Common network. This show is made possible by our wonderful Patreon supporters and incredible partners at the Dice Dungeon, where you can get 10% off your entire order with the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout, as well as our partners at Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, where you can find amazing box sets as well as descriptions, and with the code COMMON at checkout, you can save 10% off your subscription for the first 2 years. Now, settle in by the fire, because this is Tavern Talk. Hey, Chris.
Do you know what month it is?
It's fucking Spooktober.
It is Spooktober. Ugh, you know what my favorite part about this entire month is?
This entire month.
The entire month. Oh, please. I am a horror movie fanatic, so I am watching them and one at least every single night.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be real interesting to talk about pulling reference and inspiration from folklore as well as horror that we enjoy, that you're reading or... reading it or watching it. What do you think?
Yes, definitely.
Definitely?
Definitely, 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 definitely. Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Well, because I know you love all things nice and eldritch. I mean, you and Ben did an entire episode to it. Eldritch. Spooky. Love it.
All things that go bump in the night.
So.
So.
So, it's been a minute since we've recorded.
It has. It's been a long time. We have been leaving it to last minute, and we need to...
Dude, I was sick as a dog yesterday, so I'm really glad that we put it off for today.
Yeah. Yeah. We moved our game to yesterday instead of today, which worked out well.
But I have a book.
You have just one.
No, I have several books. But I have a single book in front of me right now.
Okay.
Because it is one of my favorite things to reference when I'm talking about pulling horror out of my game.
Okay.
Pulling horror more. Reference. So, Call of Cthulhu. Call of Cthulhu. I didn't do my vocal warm-ups before this. Call of Cthulhu.
Yes.
Was created by Sandy Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
He also wrote the Cthulhu Mythos for 5th edition.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of my favorite books to pull, which is over 400 pages or just about 400. It's over 400 pages.
Yeah.
Full of...
Which is amazing. I didn't even know this book existed, which I'm now heartbroken about until...
I love this book so much.
Yeah.
So inside this book, just to give a brief overview, because I'm sure we're going to touch more on it as we go through the episode.
Yeah.
It goes through how to play 5th edition... in more of a Cthulhu style setting.
Yeah.
So we're talking about, it has an entire section on the Dreamlands, different types of Cthulhu mythos player races, including like a Dreamlands cat or ghouls, things like that. But my favorite part would probably have to be the chapter about the great old ones, the outer gods and the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incredible.
So I've got things like, Father Dagon.
Who's in there? So we got our boy Dagon. Yep.
I've got the Great Cthulhu.
Of course.
I've got Azathoth.
Okay.
And several others, which names I will not even try and pronounce on this podcast.
My current favorite at the moment is, I'm going to butcher this.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say it.
Neolithotep.
You mean the Crawling Chaos?
Yes.
You're damn right I do.
Damn straight. You need to send me that stuff. Don't pirate that.
Don't pirate.
What do you mean? Okay.
But moving on.
Ben's going to already delete this episode. And just
We're talking about all things horror and folklore. Ben's going to have a terrible time editing this. But
I just realized something that's really funny. Because you were on a call until about 10 seconds ago. And we started this. We've not even started our cameras, which is why it feels weird right now.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Classic Tavern Talk.
I'm glad we have cameras on this audio medium.
In the middle of an episode. Let's just get sorted out. There we go. We were prepared.
The cameras are just for us. It's an audio medium, so like they can't.
Yeah. You can't see us, but we can see each other.
But in addition to the great old ones, Outer Gods and whatnot, they also have Mythos Monsters. So I'm talking Dimensional Shamblers.
Yeah. Now, the only reason why I actually wanted you to turn to camera was so I can see some artwork out of this book.
Oh, I'm sure you did. But there is just so much. I'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But like there's Wendigos, so many other things that we can pull from that have full fleshed out stat blocks and how to run them.
Okay.
I'll get more into how the great old one encounters run a little bit later in this episode after you talk about whatever you're thinking.
I bet they are like high level, right? They are beasts.
Think mythic encounters plus some.
Yeah, with an extra.
And they bring me so much joy.
The ones I got written down are mainly like books, which is surprising for me because I like a horror movie. But the main ones I've written down are, I think, ones I've one audiobook I listened to recently, which was a short story, and then I've got one book that's very nice. One book that I read as a kid, which I think influenced my love of the genre quite a lot.
We call that trauma.
That too. And then I've got Over the Garden Wall, which I would like to speak about, which I'm currently banned from watching in my house because my wife hates Over the Garden Wall. It's like her true fear of being trapped in the woods and not being able to get out, so she can't hack it. Okay, describe that picture.
I cannot describe
that picture. as Eldritch Horror should be.
Horrifying is undescribable. But no, the art in this book is beautiful.
It looks stunning, yeah. I need to obtain that book now. Where would you like to go? Do you want to go past trauma, current trauma?
Let's start at the beginning, shall we?
Well, let's start at the beginning. When I was about 13, I read a book series called Power of the Five. Have you heard of this?
I have. I don't know much about it, but I know I've heard people talk about it.
It's Anthony Horowitz. It's a book that is very eldritch horror, but the thing that the first book, which is called Raven's Gate, is very folk horror. So it's basically just an overview. It's about these children that have these abilities to stop an apocalypse coming, in a nutshell. But the first one is about the main character of the book, who is an orphan, basically. I think off the top of my head, I think it's been a long time since I've read this book, and he gets basically taken in by a family in the middle of nowhere, and it turns out this family is an occult in this small village. And there's a scene that is burnt into my brain where he wakes up in the night and he sees these people doing a ritual in the forest out of his window of this house, and then he realizes the people that are looking after him are in this cult, and he tries to escape, and then he ends up back in the town. He runs and runs and runs hours, and he ends up back in the same town. He can't escape it, and that's burned into my brain forever now, which is probably why I have a love of folk horror. We were actually talking about folk horror earlier because of the Kickstarter that's coming out.
Crooked Moon by, what is it, Legends of Avantis?
Yes, if you haven't looked at it, please check it out because it looks amazing.
Incredible.
So if you want to outline what folk horror is, Chris, for people who don't know what folk horror is.
Oh, you want me to give a whole definition?
Do you want a definition of folk horror? A lot of my things I've chosen are very folk horror, apart from the book, the recent short story.
I guess my basic, you could have said this, I could have too far away Van now. Richten's.
You walk away
across the room. but I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. My base understanding of folk horror is very tight knit legends lore of locations.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, small, out of the way locations. Normally very rural, I would say. Chris has just left the microphone. He's not listening to me anymore. He's currently getting a book out of his cabinet. Any time now. He'll be back. This is the best episode we've ever recorded. What have you got there, Van Richten's?
Yeah, Grave Van Dragons. Because it's got its night. It has it's a nice description. It's got
the proper one in there. Yeah.
It's got the proper description.
It's got a better version than we could ever do. Okay, you find that page.
Let's all wait
for like 10 minutes while you find this page.
We'll cut it. Oh, wait, Ben, just listen through the silence.
Ben, just skip through everything that's happening right now.
But, I mean, we can talk all the shit we want, but Van Richten's has good, basic, concise versions of each one.
I rate Van Richten's. A lot of old school people who love it don't. But I rate it.
By the time this comes out, it'll be over. But right now, Van Richten's is super cheap on Amazon because of their Prime Big Deal Days.
Oh, yeah.
That ends tomorrow, so it's useless information that everybody listens to.
I don't know if it's cheap in the UK, but we'll have a look.
Well, that's just, you know what? USA, USA.
I mean, we have the Prime details, but I never check. Why don't I check these things?
But to...
Go on, carry on.
Wrote back in. Van Richten describes folklore as adventures that involve traditions, beliefs, and perceptions that are passed down through generations.
Yes.
That's quick, concise, a lot easier, and more understandable than what we were saying.
Yeah. And the domain in there, which escapes me, the folk horror domain, is very, very cool as hags and monsters and creepy villages. It's great.
I think hags are some of the best ways if you do it right with folk horror.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Basically, any like ye olde English monster, it works very well.
One of my favorite.
I say English, British.
One of my favorite horror movies is The Witch.
So we talk about The Witch all the time. We need to we talk about The Witch a lot.
I'm so upset because A24 just did a re-release one day only of like, and they're doing one day each week of October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought it was for multiple days, not just a single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed it when they had The Witch back in theaters. And my heart broke.
That is heartbreaking. What did I watch the other day that was a good horror film? Oh, it's a new one, and it's the one with the hand, the mummified hand. What's it called?
I know what you're talking about. Don't remember the name. Haven't watched it yet.
That's going to kill me. It's very good. So I was watching it, and I was like, no, this is going to be terrible. And it was actually really good.
It's an A24 movie, though, so like you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, it was very good. I really, really enjoyed it. I can't remember what it's called, so sorry.
We're about 10-12 minutes into this episode, and we've
my wife has just messaged me because she's very helpful. She said it's called Talk to Me. Thank you, Tiffany.
She's so wonderful.
Shout out to Tiff.
But without giving spoilers, just from like what you see in the trailer and whatnot, that's even an item that could spark a type of horror.
Love a haunted item. Love a ghost item. Game. So good. I mean, like, the fun thing is, so items as well are very good for, like, players. If you wanted to make a character around an item like that, oh, it's so good. Like, you could do, like, a divination wizard or even, like, you know, a bard, spirit bard or something like that. That would be super fun to work around that. You need to watch anyway, and then let me know when you watch it.
I will be watching it.
Yeah, yeah. What else? What have you got? What else have you got? You've got your own books.
I have many other books. I mean, if we want to go into the whole thing, I have the entire collection of Lovecraft and the entire collection of Edgar Allan Poe.
You know what my favorite Poe one is, and I can't remember what it's called, but the one where the orangutan escapes and kills that woman. That's so good. It's so creepy. I love it so much. I can't remember what it's called. That's going to really annoy me. I'm going to Google it.
This is going to be great. I love how our episodes just are us remembering things, but vaguely enough where we don't remember what they're called.
I know. That's going to really annoy me.
But I think looking at Poe as well as Lovecraft are two very different sides. Poe is a more suspenseful buildup.
Yes.
For the most part. And then Lovecraft is just...
I'm going to interrupt you. The murder at the Rue Morgue.
Ah, yes. Poe is very suspenseful, mysterious, lead up to it. If you wanted to run kind of like a mystery based on some of those, you know, if we look at like Telltale Heart, things like that.
I prefer Poe's writing style to Lovecraft's writing style, 100%. Look at us, how snobby are we right now? I prefer Poe's writing style. Carry on, sorry, Chris.
Poe died in a weird way, and then Lovecraft is just a bigot.
If Lovecraft was just a bigot isn't the title, I'm going to be greatly upset then.
But we'll put, I'm not going to go in the whole details and Poe's, Edgar Allan Poe's final moments.
Yeah.
It's a fucking wild ride. It's look that up.
Poe's a wild ride, yeah.
Poe's a wild ride to listen, hear about his life and everything. Great time. But focusing on that, using something like the Telltale Heart, one of his like most well-known people know, basing like, it's a short poem, but you could base even like a little side character on it. Right?
Absolutely. NPC, like a one-shot character, anything like that,
Who's panicking and, the party involves and he's just like super on edge, super nervous, and you just kind of watch him progress and go through this until the very end. Lovecraft, all these unspeakable, crazy, insane horrors, things, is where the fun begins, because that way, that's torture. So in this book, right, I have it open up to the Great Cthulhu stat blocks.
Of course. Good pick, straight out of the
book. Because, it's a classic. Everyone knows
why it. Why not? Yeah.
It is the Cthulhu mythos. And the thing I love about it, it does a whole little write-up before the stat blocks begin.
Yep.
So it talks about, like, where the source from, where the source is, the primary source, so where it comes from. The favored weapon. So a dagger. I'm assuming you could tie it into like, there's a whole section.
You could do the cults and everything like with using all that stuff, right? So
exactly. There's a whole section in this book dedicated to each individual cult. Super duper cool.
Very fun.
It talks about the symbol, how the temples of Cthulhu go, what the worshippers look like everything you need. If you just want to base an adventure off Cthulhu.
Yeah.
It gives you all the building blocks to do that just in this little blurb.
I love that. That's incredible.
And
that's not even in the stat block yet.
No, we're not even in the stat block. There's a whole page of stuff before the stat blocks even begin, kind of going the notes and things like that.
What CR is the stat block? Just out of curiosity.
Well, stage one is 23.
Stage one is 20. How many stages have we got?
There are four stages.
Oh dear.
This is a lot. I mean, this is a full level 20 world ending fight.
This is like you're level 20 decked out for this fight.
Exactly. So, the way it works is, what is it? If you defeat him when he's down to stage one, Cthulhu is banished and his essence returns to slumber once more. That is the end. Okay. So, you could either have your campaign where Cthulhu is building up to his fourth stage and have to fight him back down.
That's fun.
Or, try and defeat him in stage four. And then try and get him down lower and
so
lower.
So he's like an essence of himself at that
precisely.
Point. Right.
So at stage four, he is a CR 30.
Oh, dear. Okay. Which is the same level as Tiamat? Is that right?
I think so. So when the influences hit, hit points are reduced to zero. It regresses to stage three, regains 150 hit points. A wish spell or divine intervention can also force Cthulhu's influence to regress to stage three immediately, but it regains all hit points in that case. So you can use a wish spell to weaken him.
Yeah, that's very fun. Which you don't get, like, I mean, wish is one of those spells that not many people use because it's a can of worms, is what I'll say. Yeah. What else we got?
So it goes into detail, the armor class.
I don't think we get into too much detail.
I don't want to get into too crazy detail. No. Its speed is insane.
Okay, which probably makes sense. Yeah, it's like a full on fucking.
It is a thing. 24,000 feet. It's fast.
I don't think. Why?
I don't know.
That's too fast.
Could not tell you.
That's crazy. That is insane.
Fly 24,000 feet, fly 1 mile, swim 24,000 feet.
Great.
It's insane.
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
But it's not like a thrown together, like, oh, this is going to be impossible to run stat block. Yeah. It's fully flushed out and everything that he can do.
That's
I'm not going to go.
Very, very fun.
I'm going to just talk about the name, how it's Sandy Peterson's Cthulhu Mythos for 5th edition. Yes. You can Please go look do. That up yourself. We don't advocate for pirating.
Nope.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. But it's definitely worth checking out for everything they have in it, in the ways of the Great Old One fights and the Mythos monsters as they are. As I mentioned earlier, they have like Wendigos and things like that in there as well, which is just, you know, goes back to the folklore.
Yeah. That you were talking about. I have been reading more. So there's a lot of American folklore that's very fun. The fun thing about, like, especially like Appalachian Mountains and stuff like that, they are so, like, the forests around there are super creepy. I was reading, this was on a podcast, actually. There was, like, stories that people had wrote in about. And there was a woman that was driving down the side of a road in, like, the Appalachian Mountains by a forest. And she thought she saw a baby on the side of the road. So she's like, yeah, which is weird, right? So she, like, stopped further on. And then she looked back, and it was like, she realized it was a doll. I was on a line and was being pulled back into the woods, and she couldn't see anyone in the woods. I'm like, that's a big nope. That is a big nope. So yeah, because there's all the like weird cannibal stories right around the Appalachian Mountains as well, and all the like weird wild people and stuff like that. Horrifying.
I'm not gonna say it, but Ben knows what I'm thinking, because I don't want to hear Ben cry about what I'm thinking.
Well, skinwalkers. You can have me say one. Yeah. Straight up skinwalkers, yeah.
No, you can be mad at you,
horrifying.
Not at me.
Horrifying.
But they're terrifying.
Ben's worst nightmares.
Makes me so happy.
Also, one of my favorite monsters.
Oh, yeah. That's why Ben doesn't play Monsters of the Week with us.
Probably. I'm trying to think, like, what folklore that I really like from the UK. All of it. It's all great. Just like the Fae in general is horrifying to me.
But that's the thing. There's so much great folklore and fairy tale from all around the world.
Yeah.
That has such great influence.
Massive amounts.
Like, even if you look at the original story of Cinderella, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that has changed from the original in my mind. There's a lot of things changed. But like, that could even be the basis of the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, include the ugly stepsisters getting their eyes ripped out by ravens
dark.
Or crows.
Yeah, like smashing her foot into the shoe and stuff like that. Horrifying. I can't remember if she like just she like cram her foot in there and it breaks, or is it like just she chops some of her feet off? I can't remember.
I think
something
she chops
like
toes
weird,
off.
Like she might chop her toes off.
I think she chops
like
toes
that.
Off.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's been a long time, but that is basically old fairy tales. Very dark, very, very dark. They're great. The other one I was going to talk about was a short story, and I'm going to be super nerdy right now. It's a Warhammer 40k short story. It's called Watcher in the Dark, and it's very eldritch horror. Basically, this planet is being evacuated, and this person's on the run from the law at the same time, and they catch up with this person. And the people start to like see weird stuff, and basically it turns out that there's this weird creature that's like, you can't see it. It only appears as your worst nightmares. So like it's just horrible. Like, it is honestly. I mean, I'm not
that's
doing
amazing.
It justice. It's truly horrific. Because the person was like, you can't pay attention to it, otherwise it gets in your head. She's like, don't think about it, don't pay attention to it. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And he just goes crackers, funny. And he just goes fully insane. It's glorious. Yeah, so I'd recommend that, as that was just a short one. But I'm trying to think what else. Book-wise or movie-wise. Barbarian, that's a great film I watched as well recently. So good. What else have you got?
I was looking back over at Van Richten's real quick,
just
looking Go more into there. That is a great resource if you're looking for anything.
Absolutely.
I think it's one of the best supplements for 5th edition there is.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I think it's a fantastic book.
But also in each one of the descriptions, when they have their page dedicated to each type of horror, without going into each of the domains that are dedicated for it, they have different types of plot hooks and settings and torments and things like that that apply to each individual type of horror.
Yeah.
From the cosmic to body to anything.
Yeah, the dark gifts are also a great thing to build character around if your DM will allow it. I've done it twice now for both werecreatures, because I'm just a sucker for a werecreature. One for a game in Ravenloft, I made a were-raven character called Oleg. He's glorious. And then in Ben's most recent game, Tomb of Horrors, no, Tomb of Annihilation. That's the one, too many tombs. Same character. So I've made my new character, because my other one died, is a werewolf cleric of Salune, which is very fun. And I have used the second skin dark gift, as well as dipping into barbarian, because I'm a sucker for multi class. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love it. I was going to talk about Over the Garden Wall. We both love Over the Garden Wall.
Yes, I haven't watched it in years. It's on my list because I think it's on HBO Max right now.
Yep.
And it's about to be on the background while I work for the rest of the night.
Yes, yes. So for those who haven't seen it, you need to go watch it for one. That is very folk horror. It's about these two kids, two brothers, that get lost in these woods. And they just walk around this creepy-ass woods. And there's basically, right, the woods in Over the Garden Wall is like one of the best ideas for a Domain of Dread I've ever seen in my entire life, because you have the thingy. I pulled the bad guy in it. Oh, this is, we should never record it late at night because my brain just does not work.
It's 9 o'clock for you right now.
It's gonna go. It's very late for me, especially when I have small children. I can't remember, and I feel really bad not knowing that. I've watched Over the Garden Wall like a million times. The Beast. That's his name. There we go. That's him.
I really understand how you got that one mixed up.
Yeah. 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 So the Beast is this like weird. Oh, so the reveal of what the Beast looks like, real creepy. Because you only see him in shadow form like most of the time. And he's like this creepy thing that everyone avoids. And he harvests this weird blood from trees. And people turn into the trees, which is another thing you find out at the end.
Spoiler.
Very creepy, horrifying. And I'd love to run a game where you are just like normal commoners trying to get out of those woods. That's something I want to do at some point, because that would be fucking horrifying.
Well, that reminds me of the campaign concept I sent you the other day.
Yeah, it's very good concept.
I think it's going to be a great concept, especially using the Dreamlands and everything that you can find in this book.
Yes. But
that's going to be another conversation for a different time. Because it is time to ring the bell.
We need to wrap up. Ring that bell. Ring that bell. let's wrap this up because we could talk about this probably forever.
Which we're more than happy to do. So if you want to meet us over on the We Speak Common Discord server, we're going to have the link to that in the description down below.
Mm-hmm.
Pop into the episode discussion, talk about this episode. Let us know what your favorite kind of horror, folk horror, creature.
Yes. Tell us a spooky story that you've had happen to you.
There you go. What you would like to use in your game, what inspiration you pull, what you fought in your games, whatever before. We would love to hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
If there's something else you want to elaborate on, I mean, Dave is great at building stat blocks. So if you can't find a stat block for said creature online somehow, or in a book or whatever.
I don't promise that, but I will try and make it if I have time. I will help you make it. There we go.
But we have a great community over there where everyone's kind of helping each other out, where it's, helping build whatever is going to help their games grow and prosper and be best.
Yeah.
But I think,
you know what else? We're going to have a guest on next week.
We are going to have a guest.
Because we got the prime slot for Halloween. We stole it. So
we got the Tavern Talk Halloween Spectacular.
So we're going to have, get one guest on, or possibly two, if Ben allows us to get another person. We'll see.
I don't know. As of this moment, it hasn't recorded yet, so we don't even know.
But yeah, anyway, we'll see you all then.
But yeah, so be sure, hit us up in the Discord, check out some books. If I remember, when this episode goes live, I'll type in and link the Cthulhu Mythos book.
Yes. So and if you can check it out. Crooked Moon as well.
Yes, because that'll still be open and live, because that's just a few days old. And it's already almost at $2 million.
It is. Dollars, I can't believe that already. That's crazy.
So it was real cool. I was there before it was even funded.
I was there before it was cool. Anyway, well, let's go, because we're
over. I think we will keep going.
Catch you in a bit, mate.
Thank you. Bye-bye, guys. Thanks again for joining us here on Tavern Talk. This show wouldn't be possible without our generous Patreon members, as well as our friends over at the Dice Dungeon, where you can pick up all your premium D&D and Dice Goblin essentials without paying a premium price. Plus, you can use code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout and save 10% off your order. And the creative minds behind Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, who provide game-ready box text, as you see in your favorite pre-written modules, to help you tell your next epic story. Offering DM and player scenes to choose from, with more than 600 free scenes and over 10,000 scenes available with a subscription. You can try Describe tonight. And once you decide to subscribe to Describe, you can use code COMMON at checkout for 10% off every month for your first 2 years. Until next time, we'll keep the fire going for you.
Thanks for listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at WeSpeakCommon.